This is the Cork's 96 FM Giving for Living Radiothon. Raising money for cancer services in Cork. Just for you.
I was hoping. Listen, I wouldn't be still there.
Graham, if you don't mind, I'm going to talk to you about your dad.
That's not a problem.
First of all, what's dad's name?
Keith Toomey.
Keith?
Yeah.
Where's Keith right now?
At the moment, he's in Marymount Hospice, which is unexpected this year, but I suppose it's the main reason I'm here this year. It's the main reason. Because where he is now, he's been for the past 11 weeks... before he was in again for 7 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that he's up there now is the main reason I'm here today.
And tell me what you did before you actually came into us this afternoon. You spoke about it there literally minutes ago before we went on the air.
I had to go and try and find a bit of money.
Yeah.
So I just asked and whoever gave and gave. And
because in fairness, you've got other things on your mind at the moment, haven't you?
Well, him, the Leaving Cert, and I just kind of all pushed it to one side for this 3 days. I said I had to do something for it.
Yeah.
But
I also found it very interesting, you were telling us that you went and found a radio, didn't you? Because even though Dad's quite ill right now, you were telling us that he can still hear.
He can still hear, and I know you can still hear me. Lying up there in that bed, even though you should be in here with me, you can still hear me, and I just want you to know this is where I am now, and I'm only doing it for you. So I'll be back up to see you in a minute. Don't you worry. Back up to annoy you again.
Graham, listen, well done.
Mornings all over the city and the county, and Ken Parrott is on the move over the next 3 days, and right now he's out in Marymount. Hello, Ken.
How you doing? Are you all right there?
Good, man, good. What you up to?
I want to talk to somebody that was on the air with us earlier on, and your dad is upstairs here in Marymount. Just step into me a small bit. What's your name again?
Graham.
Graham's dad was upstairs here in Marymount. You've been donating for how many years?
I'd say about 7 now, I think. 7 years.
And you were on the air with Ken a few minutes ago. Just tell us what's happened since then.
Since about 4 or 5 minutes after I walked out the door at the Mercy studio, my uncle got a phone call to come up to say he's passed. So after 5 minutes after being on the air, he's gone. So he heard me. He heard me.
From all of us in 96FM, our condolences to you and your family. And thanks so much for coming in. And a tough day for you, I know. But you're delighted he heard you on the radio for his, you know, one of his last things.
Yeah, and I'll be back again next year without a doubt. Next year.
Up until about 20 minutes ago, we couldn't have provided that.
No.
From today, we can. And it's thanks to people who have said, yes, I'll become a friend. So thank you so much.
Excellent stuff.
Bus station. What's going on down there? Well, if you thought this was a special moment, listen to this.
Your attention, please. We'd like to remind you that the Giving for Living Radiothon collection, the Skip for This collection, now taking place at the side of the bus station. We'd be very grateful if you would consider making a donation for this very worthy cause. Thank you.
I'm with TJ. We're outside the bus station. Give that a shake, TJ. Yeah. You wouldn't get another coin in there, would you?
You'd be notes in there as well. Oh, no. Pull to the brim. No?
So how are you going to get that in? Are you just going to tip it all in?
Oh, we'll get the...
Have you got a tin opener?
Tin opener upstairs. And
the canteen?
Oh, yeah.
Happy opening.
Right.
Did you bring all that in?
I did.
Have you any idea how much is in it?
There's up over €200, I'd say.
We're about to do something which I don't think has ever happened before. Father Richard is now going to bless the world's largest collection box. So, Father Richard, over to you.
And I bless the Skip and all who give money to it and work for this charity in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Hi. Fine, thank you.
Very good. That's quite a bit of...
The Cork's 96 FM Giving for Living Radiothon. Raising money for cancer services in Cork.
This guy we'd looked after for a while, and he'd these pre-malignant, which are 100% guaranteed to turn to cancer. And these young people have to go through big operations to get nearly cured of their condition. And he was in, he had his operation, and he came in for another surveillance. And then we had this other young chap who was in the ward at the same time with the exact same condition. Now, genetic cancers are very rare. So, of course, the two boys got talking, and they discovered they were both adopted. They had never known each other. And they discovered that they knew their natural birth mum, and they discovered she was from the same area.
They were brothers.
Stop it. That was my punchline. You couldn't resist. But that's okay, because it's a lovely story. Yes, they found out they were biological brothers, and these guys now are in their 20s and early 30s at this time. So they actually discovered each other on a ward and COH.
And how are the lads now? Are they fine?
Oh, they're fine. They've been, because of their surgeries, they've been totally cured. It's like a preventative surgery, and both guys are very well and will never get colon cancer because of it. So to make a long story short, I suppose their birth mom, one of the guys had looked her up, so he brought the other guy to meet her afterwards. So it was lovely, and they were together, so it was nice for them, you know. Yeah.
The Cork's 96 FM, giving for living radiothon.
Before that, in the meantime, I want to introduce you to Patrick, whose wife Mary Louise was diagnosed with breast cancer some 3 years ago now, and after a number of treatments she's got the all clear in 2012. But unfortunately, that cancer returned at the end of last year. Her husband Patrick picks up the story now from that point.
I heard somewhere that if you can get 5 years free of cancer, then the signs are generally good that you're going to make like 20 years of free of cancer. But sadly, the cancer returned in October last year, and it spread rapidly and aggressively. I'll never forget that, the feeling in my stomach as I just fell into her arms, and I cried pathetically, and she just grabbed me and she put her arms on my face and she said, look at me now, listen to me, I am not going to die, do you hear me? She said, I need you to believe that for me. Don't you dare give up on me. I beat it before, I'll beat it again. And I remember Emma, our daughter, she was 13 at the time, and Mary Louise then started sobbing in my arms, and she said, I just want to see my daughter walk up the aisle. Oh, won't you stay with me, 'cause you're all I need. So I knew I had to be positive for her from that point on, right up to the moment she died. But inside my heart was broken, because I just said to myself, you know, she's hoping for 10 years, I don't think she's going to get 10 weeks. And I remember the nurses putting her on a wheelchair as they made her bed. And she just gave us this wave and a smile. You know, she was so brave. She really did continue to believe that up to the last breath. It was the chemotherapy that was making her sick, rather than the cancer worsening. And I'm just so proud of how bravely she fought to stay with us, you know?
Let's talk about the end. Was it just the two of you with the children around at that stage?
My wife, Mary Louise, passed on New Year's Eve. So, you know, she started having this type of horrible, distressed breathing. So after a while, the nurses asked me, did I want to lie down with her in the bed? And I said, yes, of course. So they raised the side of the bed rests, and they placed Mary Louise on her side, and they helped me in the side her. Oh, won't you stay with me, 'cause you're all I need. So I was there with my wife. She was turned facing me in my arms, and I don't know why, but I wasn't crying, because I was trying to reassure her that it was okay to leave. I just wanted her pain to stop. And I saw a tear come down her eye, and it broke my heart. So the nurses came in about 3 o'clock in the morning to check, and they reassured me that she was in no pain. So they told me to relax and to try and go to sleep, so I did. And I relaxed, hoping that she would pass away in my arms while I slept. But somehow I woke at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and I noticed her breathing was starting to slow down. So the nurses were there, and they watched as I said my last farewell. And as she drew her last breath, it was 20 past four, remember, on the clock. And the nurses, they just cleared out her mouth, and they said, Patrick, look. And she opened her eyes, and I just sat there. And I just said, goodbye, sweetheart. I love you. Thank you. And she had this sad expression, but we just stared at each other for what seemed an eternity, but it was really only 10 seconds. And then she closed her arms, and she went from being my wife to being my angel. You know, won't you stay with me, 'cause you're all I need.
Do you Do you talk to Mary Louise now?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, what'd you talk about recently?
It's hard because you're living with the dead and it's very hard to let her go. But, you know, Mary Louise had an energy. It just, you know, it can't be diminished. And she has, you know, she's got this candle in my heart and that's not going to be extinguished no matter what the future holds. But as you said, at the moment, it's about getting... I've talked to her about the children, trying to figure out how to cook. I can't cook, and trying to figure out, you know, how...
I know, I've just had a cup of coffee here. We need to work on this, you know that.
Yes, I can't bake either. Stay
with me. The Cork's 96 FM, giving for living radiothon.
What an absolutely superb man. What a great wife Mary Louise was to him as well. We've got no doubt about that. If you were moved by what you've just heard, then you can help us right now to make things that little bit easier, to make things that little bit better when it comes to cancer services here in Cork. Right now we're in the middle of one of our power hours, and that's where we need your help. We need some friends. If you want to help us out, you can text friends right now to 53096 for 20 cent. Don't think about this one, just do it. It's going to be tough, I know, but if you were moved like I am by that, then you don't need to ask yourself why. Just do it, please. Send us a text right now. Friend, 53096 for 20 cent. Sorry about this. Clodagh, what have you got there?
Some people have already become friends. Aileen Condon from Mitchellstown, Francis Ryan from Cookstown, Catherine O'Callaghan from Upper Fairhill, and Aileen Flinter from Glanmire. Again, all you have to do is text friend.
To the Mercy and a very young guest with a very beautiful smile. Good morning. What's your name?
My name is Katie Power.
And where are you from, Katie?
I'm from Tenery Gardens, Redemption Road.
Did you bring a donation to us?
Yes.
What did you bring in?
I brought in €25.
Well done you, well done you. And who's here with you?
My mum and my baby brother.
It's brilliant to have you come in. Great to see you. Thank you for coming into us in the Radiothon.
And Peter, don't forget why the nails are done. Why are the nails done, Katie?
Because I'm going to One Direction on Saturday.
Ooh! Wow! Isn't she such
a... She brought in that €25 and she could have spent that up in Dublin. No, she wanted to bring that €25. You're a great girl.
Who's your favourite member of One Direction?
Niall.
Okay. Would you like to marry him?
No.
No?
Wise woman.
And I want you to just give me 4 minutes of your time right now and maybe turn the radio up slightly and have a listen to this. Again, I remind you before we play it, this is real life. They're not actors, it's not TV, it's not the cinema, it's not drama. This is somebody's real life. This is their journey. Sandy Boundy, she's speaking here about her two-year-old son, this is Max, and how much of a shock she and the whole family got during their summer holiday.
Well, it was last summer. We all had a great summer, actually. We were down in Kerry, and it was my last hurrah before going back to work in September. And I went back to work. He went into creche, and we were fine for a week. And he got very sick. I was like, oh, no, I'm back in work, please. Every mum's worst nightmare. It was only a simple thing. He had tonsillitis, but he just was sick. And at that point, they discovered his hemoglobin had dropped, which they decided then to follow up and do a bone marrow aspirate. And normally bone marrows take about 20 minutes to do. They said, you know, it won't be that long. Just go away, have a cup of coffee and we'll call you. But we were gone almost an hour. So my husband said he knew something wasn't right. And that evening they came back in. We were in the room in the CUH, and I suppose they told us what really no parent wants to hear, was that Max had leukemia.
How long will I love you? As long as stars are above you, and longer if I can.
So I said, I suppose it's like every parent's nightmare. And at the same time, we were looking at Max and, you know, when they're talking and saying, you know, his bone marrow is packed with leukemia cells. It's a very hard thing to hear. I was just looking at him saying, but he looks fine. And I was saying, compared to the summer, he's not even sick. You know, are you sure? And we went straight in an ambulance then to Crumlin. That walk in Crumlin, and I think any parent that has been through it would recognise it, but it's a long corridor and you walk down and at the end of it is a big sign saying, you know, haematology and oncology. And I suppose you just can't believe that you're in that situation. I just remember feeling I want to run away, that I wanted to grab him and, you know, run out of there. But that's, you know, you can't do that, I suppose.
How long will I need you? As long as the seasons need to. Follow that plan.
I suppose your biggest fear is he's going to die. And that's, I suppose, something that you can't, as a parent, you can't imagine that you're going to lose him. And even at times during his treatment, people say to you, oh my God, how do you cope and how do you do this? And I think it's just, you just do it because it's your child and you have to do it. Even before Max got diagnosed, We had all been on holidays and it was a really happy time. And I remember saying to my husband when we got the diagnosis, you know, are we ever going to be happy again? Because I just felt this such sadness. And even in Crumlin, looking at him inside in the cot, thinking, oh my God, I can't imagine life without him. But in actual fact, even 4 weeks later, we brought him home. To his sisters, and they were so excited to see him home. They hadn't seen him in, you know, four weeks. And actually, it was like a eureka moment for me because I went, oh yeah, we can be happy again, you know, which sounds, but it is almost thinking, it's those little pieces of happiness, I suppose, that even through treatment, we can be happy, we can function as a family.
How long will I love you? As long as stars are above you.
The Cork's 96FM, giving for living radiothon.
And thank you to Sandy for telling her story, one of the many stories that we've been hearing throughout Radiothon. Some good news, though, to go along with that Max right now, he's doing very well and responding very well to the treatment. Treatment which costs money, which is why we are asking you to make a difference right now. Text the word friend to our regular text number 530.
This is the Cork's 96FM Giving for Living Radiothon.
Just for you, just for you, just for you.
Raising money for cancer services in Cork.
Just for you.